Good morning.
早上好。
Let's begin with a prayer.
我们用一个祷告来开始今天的讲道。
Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this service. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you in song and in the breaking of bread.
主啊，我们谢谢你给我们这样的早晨，谢谢你给我们这样好的敬拜，也谢谢你让我们在主桌前来领受你的恩典。
Now we just thank you for the life that you've given us.
我们也谢谢你赐给我们生命和气息。
A life that we do not deserve.
这个生命是原本是我们不配的。
And for the grace through your Son that we do not have to earn.
这个恩典是从主耶稣赐给我们。
Now we open your Word. And we pray your blessings upon it that we might speak your truth.
我们也谢谢你赐给我们话语，也愿我们的心敞开来接受真理。
That we would become just a little more knowledgeable.
也希望借着讲道，让我们对圣经更加有知识。
And hopefully a lot more useful.
也希望能够得到有用的知识。
This we pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告是以奉耶稣基督的圣名。Amen.
My Bible professor at Liberty University taught us this principle in the course called Doctrine of the Bible.
我的一个圣经教授圣经学的教授在这个讲授圣经的时候教给我们这样的一个原则。
When the plain sense makes the most sense, don't look for any other sense.
就是说这个我们对圣经的了解是就是很忠实于原文而不要自己去主观臆断。
A straightforward understanding of the words of the Bible were what he was trying to tell us.
就是 again, 就是我们要忠实于圣经的原文。
When I was enrolled there, I think I'd by that time I think I'd read through the Bible 10 or 11 times.
我那个时候呢，通读圣经已经有10遍、11遍了。
I thought that was pretty good, and someone asked him how many times he'd been through it.
我就自我感觉良好，所以有一天我就问这个教授说：“您读过圣经多少遍？”
And this was in 2002. He was on his 328th time through the Bible.
他问这个问题的时候呢，是2002年。那个时候，教授已经是读过308遍圣经，正在读第308遍。
I thought that he would have achieved some greater level of understanding, having been through it so many times.
我就想着哈，他这样读了这么多遍，一定是对圣经的理解达到一个前所未有的高度。
But he quickly corrected me.
但是呢，他很快就纠正我说。
And he said the Bible is for every man.
他说圣经是给每一个人的。
A child in their first time through could understand most of the Bible just like him.
一个小孩子他第一次读圣经的时候，他的领受程度其实和这位教授就差不太多。
His point was you approach the Bible with humility and through a sense of a spiritual understanding.
教授的意思就是说我们读圣经的时候一定要有一个谦卑的态度，我们就可以有很多领受。
Because the Bible is not intellectually discerned or understood.
因为对圣经的理解并不是完全的靠你的智力。
It's spiritually understood.
它更多的是一个属灵的领悟。
Your word is truth.
今天讲到的题目是你的道就是真理。
Most people know that Jesus said that.
大家很多人都知道这是耶稣的原话。
God the Son.
神的儿子。
Speaking to God the Father.
他对神对天父这样说。
I think that's probably one of the most powerful testimonies to the accuracy and reliability of the Bible.
作为神子他这样的宣称呢是有很大的可信度。
Two parts of the triune God speaking the same truth.
就是这个三位一体的神他有两方参与来宣称这样的真理。
Now, everyone wants to know the truth.
每一个人都渴望知道真理。
Wives love for their husbands and their children to speak the truth.
作为妻子应该爱她的丈夫，孩子应该尊敬父母。
Proverbs 24:26 says.
在箴言书第二十二章里边说到。
An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips.
就是一个诚实的回答，就像是一个亲吻。
We want a God we can know who speaks the truth.
我们希望我们的神是一个传达真理的神。
Isaiah 45. In Isaiah 45, we learn that we have such a God.
在以赛亚书第四十五章，我们了解到我们的神就是这样的一位神。
For this is what the Lord says.
因为这是神的话。
He who created the heavens, he is God.
就是他创造了天地，他是神。
He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it.
他的手也亲自奠定了这个大地。
He did not create it to be empty.But formed it to be inhabited.
他制造它并不是让它空无一物，而是让人类居住在其间。
I am the Lord, and there is no other.
我是神，并没有除我之外，并没有其他的神。
I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness.
我没有在隐秘黑暗之地说话。
I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain.
我没有对雅各的后裔说，你们寻求我是徒然的。
I, the Lord, speak the truth.
我耶和华所讲的是公义。
I declare what is right.
所说的是正直。
In the English congregation, we've been going through different passages of scripture some passages that are easily taken out of context.
在英文堂的敬拜中，我们学了一些经文。这些经文如果不仔细研读的话，它很容易会被这个意思很容易被曲解。
Jeremiah 29:11.
在耶利米书二十九章十一节
reads, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
耶和华说，我知道我向你们所怀的意念。
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you.
是赐平安的意念，不是降灾祸的意念。
Plans to give you hope and a future.
要叫你们末后有指望。
Now when we look at that passage,
当我们看这段经文的时候
and lift it out,
如果把它从这个以赛亚从这个耶利米书中取出来
from what's before and what's after,
就是不要不考虑上下文的话
it's easy to make that say something that it's really not saying.
我们就很容易会得到一些本来不是圣经想传达的意思。
If we go back to verse 10,
如果我们回到第十节，
This is what the Lord says.
这是神所说的。
When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise.
就是说你们被巴比伦人掳去70年之后，我会让你们回归，让你们重新回到家园。
Judah, the southern kingdom, is getting ready to go into captivity.
这个犹大王当时已经是快要被外邦人掳去了。
For hundreds of years, of rebellion and idolatry.
经过几百年的这种悖逆，这种就是拜假神这种和这样的恶行。
And for failing to keep God's commands.
因为他没有遵守神的诫命。
So God wants to make sure they understand that He's a good God.
所以在这里呢，神是想让大家明白，他是一个良善的神。
They're going to be judged. A good God has to judge.
一个良善的神，但是也要实行公义，也要实行审判。
But God's not going to leave them.
他们虽然被掳去，但神并不会任由他们一直被掳去。
So that's how we understand verse 11, 29:11.
这就是我们怎样来理解这个耶利米书二十九章十一节。
And if we go after that,
如果我们往下看，
then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you.
他就说，神就说，当你们回转向我呼求的时候，我就会来听你们。
In the past, they neglected God. They neglected to pray. They neglected to seek Him.
在这之前，他们是漠视神，他悖逆神，他并不听神的话。
But God is assuring them after this time of captivity, they will return.
而神在这里是承诺说，当他们被掳去之后，他们会悔改，回转归向神。
And verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
在第十三节，神就说到，你将会来寻求我，你会全心的、全心全意的来寻找我。
This they have not been doing. They had not sought Him with His own, with all their hearts.Which is what God wants them and us to do.
而神在说这句话的时候，他们还并没有全心全意的来寻求神。
The next verse we looked at two weeks ago was Philippians 4:13.
在两周前，英文堂我们学习了腓立比书四章十三节。
I can do everything through Him who gives me strength.
我靠着那加给我力量的，凡事都能做。
We see that used by a lot of athletes.
我们看到很多运动员他喜欢引用这节经文。
They write it on their shoes.
他们会写在他们的鞋子上。
And I'm not going to question their motive. I believe that maybe they believe that through the inspiration they have with God, they can succeed.
我并不怀疑他们这样写的动机是什么。我相信就是他们认为把神的话写在这里会帮助他们有更好的发挥。
But that's not a correct understanding of this verse.
但是呢，这个想法并不是一个对这段这个对这节经文的准确的应用。
First of all, where was Paul when he wrote this?
首先，当保罗写这段经文的时候，他在哪里呢？
Most of you probably know he was in prison.
很多人都知道他是在监狱里。
And I think maybe a better way of looking at it, I don't want to question God, but. I think one way of looking at this is Paul was saying that I can endure all things through Him who gives me strength.
所以我想一个更贴切的理解就是说，在这样艰难的情况下，保罗所发出来的宣言就是说，靠着神的加给我的力量，我可以忍受一切的这种不幸这样的困难。
Just one chapter earlier, Paul said, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection."
而就在这个腓立比书的前一章，保罗就正说过，他愿意更多的了解神，知道他这个复活的大能。
And to share in the fellowship of His sufferings.
他也愿意和主耶稣一同来经受苦难。
So Paul was saying, through good and bad, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength.
所以保罗在这里说到，无论境况如何，我靠着我的主都可以安然经过。
This morning we're going to look a little bit at Genesis, Genesis chapter 1.
今天早上我们要更多的学习创世纪第一章。
And we want to try to understand what the plain understanding of the words mean in Genesis.
我们也想看一看，就是单纯的从这些经文，我们可以学到什么。
We'll look at Proverbs 30, verse 5 first.
我们要先看一下箴言书的三十章第五节。
Every word of God is flawless.
神的话语句句都是炼净的。
He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him.
投靠他的，他便做他们的盾牌。
Do not add to His words.
他的言语你不可加添。
Or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar.
恐怕他责备你，你就显为说谎的。
When I look at this verse, I like to look at it as it talking about two different groups of people.
当我看这段经文的时候，我认为它是向两个不同的人群说的。
The first part of the verse is talking about believers.
前一部分是对那些信徒来说。
They see the word of God as flawless, as perfect.
这些信徒把神的话看作是炼净的，是完美的。
They're kind of like those that God was speaking about in Isaiah 66. This is the one I esteem, those who are humble and tremble at my word.
这群人呢，就是神在以赛亚书第66章中所描述的，他们是谦卑的来到神面前，他们完全的信靠神的话语。
They'd be very careful.
他们非常的认真。
And trying to make it say something that it may not say.
就是他们对神的话语是非常的忠实的。
The second part, do not add to his words or he will rebuke you. Rebuke is a sharp criticism and prove you a liar.
在第二段里面说，他的言语你不可加添，恐怕他责备你。在这里，责备是一个很重的词，而且呢，他就是显为这些加添他话语的人是一些说谎者。
This group would be unbelievers, people who would easily compromise the word.
这群人呢，就是一些不信神的人，他们经常对神的话有所删改或者加添。
And they wouldn't find any problem in trying to make the word say something that it doesn't say.
他们篡改神的原意，他们不觉得有什么问题。
So with that in mind, let's look at Genesis.
我们记得这个神的这个总的教导，然后我们以这样的态度来看创世纪。
In creation, chapter 1.
在第一章提到神的创造。
We're not going to go through all of it, but we'll read some of it.
我们不会整篇通读，我们只会选几节经文来读。
In the first chapter of Genesis, we see it broken down, the creation broken down into six specific days of creation.
在创世纪第一章，我们看到神的创造被分割为六天不同的阶段。
Each day is followed, at the end of each day, the phrase evening and morning.
在每一天的结束，他会提到早上，提到晚上。
Meaning this day is completed, and the evening and morning process is transitioning to the second day.
当他提到晚上，提到第二天早上的时候呢，就是一个很自然的时间过渡到第二天。
In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1.
在创世纪第一章第一节。
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
起初神创造天地。
Now the earth was formless and empty.
地是空虚混沌。
Darkness was over the surface of the deep.
周面黑暗。
And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
神的灵运行在水面上。
And God said, let there be light.
神说要有光。
And there was light.
就有了光。
God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness.
神看光是好的，就把光暗分开了。
God called the light day.
神称光为昼。
And the darkness he called night.
称暗为夜。
And there was evening and there was morning the first day.
有晚上，有早晨，这是头一日。
So at the end of the first day, we have a heavens, stretched out space. We have the earth, and we have a light source.
所以在第一天的终结的时候，我们看到有天有地，也看到了这个光源。
One thing that's interesting, in Genesis chapter 1, it's the only place in the Bible where God limits himself in his creative powers and really slows himself down if you ever make a careful study of the Bible, it'll take a little while, and go through and look at every miracle that God performed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Every one was supernatural.
所以很有趣的一点就是说，在这个创世纪的第一章，第一天神的创造，好像神呢是在这里是一个非常慢的、很细致的这么一个工作，不像在旧约、新约中其他的一些神迹是非常大有能力的，而且发生的是非常迅速的。
They were unexplainable by the natural mind, which we would expect if it's a supernatural mind.
其他的神迹呢都可以看出来是一种超自然的能力，我们也可以想象神确实是超自然的。
And this is what makes them different. They were all immediate.
而且神所创造的所有的神迹呢都是就是一下子就发生。
Every miracle was immediate.
所有的神迹都是瞬间发生的。
Jesus speaking to the servants, go and fill these stone jars with water.
就好比说耶稣对那些仆人说去把那个酒缸充满水。
And now draw it out.
然后呢再取出来。
Instantaneously, water, H2O, converted to wine.
就那么一瞬间的功夫水就变成了酒。
Stills the storms.
当耶稣平静风暴的时候
Peace be still.
一下这个风暴就平静了。
Only in Genesis do we see God reigning in his creative powers.
而在这个创世纪里边呢，神好像是把这个缰绳勒紧，就让整个这个速度慢下来。
Could he have done it in a day?
神可以一天就完成吗？
Most people who believe in an all-powerful God would say, of course he could have done it in a day.
我们信仰相信神的大能的人会说，当然神一天可以完成。
Could he have done it in a moment, in a minute?
神可以就是说一分钟或者是一刹那间就完成这些吗？
Yes, no.
当然也可以。
Yeah, he could have. But why did he rein in his power to do what he did the way he did?
那么神为什么要这样子好像放慢速度来慢慢的创造呢？
Exodus 20
在出埃及记二十章
Exodus 20 verse 8
出埃及记二十章第八节
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
当纪念安息日，守为圣日。
Six days you shall labor and do all your work.
六日要劳碌做你一切的工。
But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God.
但第七日是向耶和华你神当守的安息日。
On it you shall not do any work.
这一日，无论何工都不可做。
Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals.
无论是你还是你的儿女、仆婢、牲畜。
Nor the alien within your gates.
无论是你城里寄居的客旅。
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day.
因为六日之内，耶和华造天地海。和其中的万物，第七日便安息。
So God reigned in His power and came close to us.
所以在这里呢，神是真的，他勒住这个缰绳，放慢速度，让我们好更加理解。
He established the Israelites' work week.
他这样做的时候呢，就建立了以色列人的这个工作六天、休息一天的这个星期的制度。
6 days and resting 1 day.
六天做工，一天休息。
By working 6 days and resting, though he didn't need to rest, he established that connection with man.
神做了六天创造的工，第七天休息。神其实是不需要休息的。他之所以这样做，是为了让以色列人建立这个六天做工，一天休息的这样的一个制度。
So sometimes, if you have some time, look through all those miracles and see that Genesis 1 was unique.
所以如果大家有时间去查考一下神的其他的神迹，你就会发现这个创世纪的第一章真的是非常独特的。
Genesis 1:1, in the first day, God, he's like the grand artist with a blank canvas.
在这个创世纪的一章一节，神就像一个伟大的艺术家，他面对的是一个空白的画布。
Day by day, using this his masterful strokes to create a perfect paradise for mankind.
一天又一天，他用他这种伟大的这种艺术家的笔触，他来添色加彩，来画出了这样一个美好的画面。
So when we think about origins, there are three different ways of looking at origins.
当我们查考这个人类或者地球的起源的时候呢，大概是有三种学说。
You know, the first one is billions of years through a chance random process.
一个说法呢，就是说，是通过一种随机的这种过程，是经过了几十亿年。
And this model dismisses God completely. God's not there. God doesn't exist.
这个学说呢，是完全把神的创造排除在外。
The biblical model, which is thousands of years by divine fiat.
而这个圣经的这种理论呢，就是说是经过几千年的，是通过神的这个大能来创造的。
Which is God speaking, and matter is generated just through His awesome word.
这就是圣，就是靠着神的大能，他说有就有，命立就立。
And the last one is somewhere in between.
还有一种学说呢，就是介于这两者之间。
That's where different groups of people and theologians have compromised the plain sense of the word and tried to merge the two.
就是有一些人
tried to merge the Bible with infinite amount of time.
有些人呢，他就试图折中，他就是把神的创造又和这个好像相当长的这个时间，这两个要想办法要融合起来。他们创造了这样的一些说法。
When we think about the age of the earth, what does it matter? I mean, who cares?
当我们提到这个地球的年龄的时候，一个很自然的问题就是说，谁在乎这个？谁关心这个呀
？Well, here's a few reasons why it could be important.The credibility of the book of Genesis is at stake.
但是呢，这个确定地球的年龄是非常重要的，因为它会如果我们不确知地球的年龄的话，那么这个创世纪的这一个可信度就要被人家质疑。
If it's not foundationally correct, if you can't understand it as written, As we'll see later, a lot of the whole New Testament doctrine comes crashing down.
如果这个根基没有立定的话，那么后来在其上所建造的一些其他的东西，比方说新约的一些记载，那么就也会被别人质疑了。
The credibility of Jesus is at stake. Jesus cited Genesis 25 times.
那个耶稣的可信度也会遭到质疑，因为耶稣本人就曾经引用创世纪达25次之多。
Can the average person read and understand, or do we need help?
一个正常的人，他可以读，他可以明白吗？还是我们需要更多的帮助
？This is where we should be like the Bereans. Remember them that Paul was speaking to?
这就好像是使徒保罗特别关注的一群人
Bereans. Yeah, they're a group of people. In the book of Acts.
是在创世纪，不是在使徒行传里所专门提到的一群人。
Paul spoke to them, but immediately their response was, "We're going to look at the Bible to be real careful to see if what Paul said is true."
就是保罗对这一群人说了一些话之后呢，这些人的反应是我们要查考我们的圣经来看你说的对不对。
They had the correct position in that unless what Paul said agrees with Scripture, we're going to reject it.
他们的这个态度其实是对的。如果保罗说的话和这个圣经不相符的话呢，那么他们就会听圣经的，而不会去听保罗的。
And that's where we all should be.
我们都应该这样做。
Nearly every book in the Bible refers to Genesis.
圣经的几乎每一卷书都有提到这个创世纪。
If Genesis does not convey creation in six literal consecutive 24-hour days, how could God have written it differently to convey this?
如果这个创世纪的第一章并没有清楚地传达这样一个信息，就是说神是用六天连续的二十四小时一天这样的时间段来创造世界，那么神应该怎么样来不同的描述才可以传达这个意思？
This is a good question to ponder.
这是一个大家值得深思的问题。
If you read Genesis just as written, you know, how can you come up with another conclusion? I would say, if you can come up with anything other than that, it's because you've been influenced by outside ideas.
因为当我们逐字逐句的来读创世纪的话，那么我们得出的神的创造就是六天创造天地万物，而不会想到其他的任何一个理论学说。你之所以会想到一些其他的解释，是因为你受了外界的很多学说理论的影响。
When we look at Genesis chapter 1, we see God progressively creating and completing his universe.Day by day by day.
在这个创世纪第一章，我们看到神一天又一天的慢慢的创造了整个宇宙万物。
At the end of each day, there the second day is over. There is evening and there is morning. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the same term.
在每一天的结束是晚上，然后第二天早上，新的一天重新开始。这是一个周而复始的循环的，就是确凿无疑的是六个连续的天。
Now we see that same word in the Hebrew, the word for day is yom, Y-O-M.
在希伯来文中，这个一天是一个特殊的词，叫 yom.
We see that.Chronology of days in other things and throughout the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 7.
而且我们也看到在圣经中多次提到这个数字七，也多次提到这个天这样的概念。
When the Israelites were dedicating their gifts to the tabernacle.
当这个以色列人献祭的时候。
Each tribe, there were 12 tribes.
有十二个支派。
Each tribe brought their gifts on consecutive days. On the first day, it was the tribe of Judah.
这个十二个支派呢，依次每一天来献上礼物。比方说，第一天就是犹大支派来献。
On the second day, it was the tribe of Issachar.
第二天是什么以斯那个另外一个支派来献祭。
Some of those words are tough.So each tribe brought their gifts on consecutive days, and there were 12 consecutive days.
所以呢，十二个支派每一天献上礼物，一共就持续要十二天。
They each brought the same gift.
他们每一天献上的是同样的礼物。
The silver bowls, the gold dishes, and the animal sacrifices.
它是有金有银有一些牛羊。
But that's not important.What is important is the consecutive days, the understanding of how each day in the Hebrew Bible meant a normal, regular 24-hour day.
在这里重要的不是他们献什么礼物，而是说这十二个支派每一天就是他们依次来献上礼物，就是他们对这个每一天的概念是非常理解的，它是二十四小时，有早晨，有黑夜。
And you see that.Several places. You see it with Joshua. Joshua, when he was getting ready to take Jericho.
我们也看到在圣经的其他地方也提到这个天的概念，比方说约书亚领人攻打耶利哥城的时候。
God gave him specific instructions on how to take the city.
神给了他们一个清楚的指示，如何来攻占这个城。
Most of you, if you have read the Bible any, you're familiar with that story.
如果你们读圣经的话，应该对这个故事很熟悉。
Each day they were to march around the city one time.
他们每一天要绕城走一圈。
For 6 days.
一共走了六天。
And the seventh day they were to march around the city 7 times.
而在第七天呢，他们要绕城七周。
And God would supernaturally help them take the city.
而那个神的这个超自然的力量就开始作用，然后帮助他们来攻陷了这个城。
But those passages of scriptures only make sense if the word day makes sense in that it's a 24-hour day.
但是所有的这些故事都是指明了以色列人对这个天的概念是非常清楚的。
And the same term is used in Genesis.
这样同样的这个天的概念呢，也是用在创世纪里边。
But because of outside influences,
但是由于外界的影响
and a lot of churches have compromised the plain understanding of Genesis chapter 1.
然后很多教会呢就对这个六天的创造呢就是搞了很多解释来其实就是曲解了圣经的原意。
And I would say to those people, the second part of Proverbs 30 would probably apply to them.
我就想对于这样的人，那个在箴言中所说的那个第二段话，就是应在他们身上，就是神会责备他们，他们就显为说谎的。
God will prove you incorrect when you deviate from the plain understanding of His word.
如果你就是故意要曲解或者远离神所表达的原意的话呢，神是会来责备你。
We'll look at a few proofs from outside the Bible.
我们可能现在要从外界来看一些证明圣经的一些证据。
You know, if evolution is true, evolution in the sense that there is no God.
如果进化论是正确的，就是进化论的含义就是说神的创造是被排斥在外。
You know, most people know how evolution works. Non-living particles progressed forward until we're here over many, 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 many millions of years.
熟悉进化论的人都知道，这个世界的形成是由一个没有生命的，逐渐经过很多很多漫长的岁月演变成有生命的。
So if that were true, we would expect to discover a universal trend in science, which leads to more complexity in nature.
如果这个进化论是正确的话，那么我们就可以想象，随着时间的这个迁移，我们会看到一个越来越丰富多彩的、越来越复杂的这样的一个自然界。
But instead, we discover just the opposite.
但是事实上呢，我们所观察到的恰好相反。
We discover the universal science, the universal second law of science.
我们发现了这个一个普遍的科学第二定律。
This is just a simple graph of what the evolutionary world demands if evolution were true.
这里呢是一个简化了的进化论的图表。
The degree of order should increase over time.
也就是说，这个越高级的、越复杂的，随着时间迁移，它慢慢的形成。
So that particles could develop and become more and more complex until we have humans.
就是说，最早只是一些颗粒，它。它那个慢慢的进化演变，最后就形成了人。
But the second law of science, or the second law of thermodynamics, is what it's called, shows the opposite in nature.
但是呢，这个就是热力学第二定律显示了一个完全相反的结论，就是说，随着这个时间迁移，熵值越来越高，这个整个系统的有序性是越来越低的。
In all systems, whether they're living systems or inanimate systems, we see levels of deterioration or decay.
在任何一个系统，无论是一个活着的有机体，或者是一个没有生命的这么一个封闭系统，它就是 这个有序性是，如果你没有外界参与，它的有序性是越来越低。
And the interesting thing about that is that the Bible predicted it.
有趣的是，圣经其实已经预示了这一点。
Psalm 102.
是在诗篇的102篇。
In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands.
你起初立了地的根基，天也是你手所造的。
Here, the psalmist is giving God credit for the beginning creation of the universe.
所以在这里呢，他是说最起初是神造了天地，给了神这个 credit， 就是那个神的功劳。
And verse 26, they will perish, but you remain.
天地都要淹没，你却要长存。
They will all wear out like a garment.
天地都要如外衣，渐渐旧了。
Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded.
你要将天地如里衣更换，天地就改变了。
Now, how could the psalmist have known that?
这个诗篇的作者怎么知道这一些呢？
I mean, the second law of thermodynamics was something that was discovered in the last 100 years.
这个热力学第二定律是大概过去一百年间才被发明的。
How could the psalmist have known that 3,000 years ago?
而三千年前的诗篇的作者怎么知道这一点？
When he looked up into the heavens,
当他向上
at night,
当他在晚上仰望星空的时候，
I mean he wouldn't have noticed any difference at all.
他根本看不出会有任何的变化。
There's no way he could have known.That the stars were burning up their fuels.
他也不会知道，在那些星星有的时候会，就是燃料用尽以后，它就不会再闪烁了。
See, but God understood all these things.
但是神知晓一切。
That's where we get the sense of the book being supernatural.
这也就是为什么我们说圣经这是一个超自然的书。
So he predicted the law of thermodynamics long before scientists of our era discovered it.
所以远在这个热力学第二定律被发现之前，神就已经在诗篇里边预言了整个这个世界是一个慢慢的衰退败坏的这么一个趋势。
And a proof from logic.
一个从逻辑上来得到的这个证据。
You know, one of the.Evolution's the thinking behind evolution is that give it enough time, you know, life will evolve. And they'd like to use that illustration of you put a million monkeys in a room and start typing on a keyboard. Eventually, you'll get the complete works of Shakespeare.
就是说，这个进化论它有一个很重要的要求，就是说要给予足够长的这个很漫长的时间，它才可以进化。就好比说你把一大堆 monkey 就是说把你假如说一个房间里你放了500万只猴子，然后他们最后进化就会变成一个莎士比亚。
I think Shakespeare wrote about 37 different tragedies and comedies andif you want to pursue that, I think he ended up with 37.
莎士比亚好像是一共写了37部悲剧或者喜剧。
So what is the probability of a monkey doing that?
所以一个猴子能够进化到那个地步写出这么多书来，这个几率是多少呢？
If you use statistics,
如果你用统计学，
just the first 5 characters.
仅仅是头五个字母。
Typed at random, the probability would be like one in two billion.
就是把这五个字母，不管你怎么随机的排列，它变成一个字吗？就是好像大概是100万分之1的几率。
But even though it's very, very unlikely, the probability is still not zero.
就是说这个几率好像并不等于零。
But deductive logic.Is a little bit better. If your assumptions are correct, then your conclusion is absolute. It's airtight.
可能一个更好的 证据呢，就是这种推理式的这样的一个这种逻辑，就是说如果你的假设是正确的话，那么你证明它的几率也要大得多。
So here's one, here's an example of one.
这里是一个例子。
Human sin brought death into the world.
就是因为人的罪导致那个死亡进入了世界。
Let's take a look at that, see if that's true.
让我们来看一看这个是否是真的。
Genesis chapter 1,
在创世纪第一章
verse 29,
第二十九节。
We won't get an exact answer, but we'll get a pretty good, by looking at scripture, we'll get a pretty good idea that's a true statement.
我们会看到这是一个
129,
创世纪第一章第二十九节，这是一个很好的证据。
Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it.
神说，看哪，我将遍地上一切结种子的菜蔬和一切树上所结有核的果子全赐给你们做食物。
They will be yours for food.
全赐给你们做食物。
And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground.
至于地上的走兽和空中的飞鸟，并各样爬在地上有生命的物。
Everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.
我将青草赐给他们做食物。
So, we see that the entire world, when God finished His creation, was vegetarian.
所以我们看到，当神结束了他的这个创造大功的时候，地球上的所有的生物都是素食主义者。
Right, no death.No death, no animals killing each other, no humans having steaks in the backyard.
所以你看，所有这些动物都是吃青草，所以呢，它不存在着杀死一个东西，就是不需要死亡，所有的生物就是可以饱足的。
In verse 31, God saw all that He made, and it was very good.
第三十一节，神看着一切所造的都甚好。
A very good creation by God's own word is not going to include death.
就是神所创造的这一切是美好的，它是不包括死亡的。
That creation is going to have to be corrupted, but when God completed it, it was perfect.
当神创造刚刚结束的时候是完美的，是后来因为这个败坏才出现死亡。
In Genesis chapter 2,
然后到创世纪第二章。
Verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it.
耶和华神将那人安置在伊甸园，使他修理看守。
And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die."
耶和华神吩咐他说，园中各样树上的果子你可以随意吃，只是分别善恶树上的果子你不可吃，因为你吃的日子必定死。
So as long as they don't eat,
所以只要他们不吃那个果子，
no death,
不会有死亡。
So human sin brought death into the world according to the Bible, true statement. Agree?
因为人的罪才导致死亡进入这个世界，这是完全是圣经所描述的，是正确的。
Okay, the theory of evolution requires millions of years of death before humans were alive.
而这个进化论呢，它是要求有个几百万年的漫长的时间，就是在人还没有出现之前，这么多生物经过这么长时间，肯定会有很多很多的死亡，才会有人出现。
So, I mean, everybody knows that's true. That's death is the hero of evolution.
所以大家都知道这是真的，因为这个死亡是这个进化论的英雄。
Death and gradual improvements, gradual advancement.
就是这个死亡是通过死亡，它要淘汰那些劣势物种，所以这个强者才能够生存下来。所以这个死亡是进化论不可或缺的这么一个要素。
True statement.
这是一个真的结论。
Therefore, the theory of evolution and the Bible cannot both be true.
所以呢，因为这两个不同的这个 证据吧，就是说这个创造论和进化论不可能两个都是真的。
So if you believe the Bible, that disproves evolution.
所以如果你相信圣经的话，那么我们就不可能接受进化论。
Compromise.
这个妥协。
This is the last of our alternatives.
这是我们的。
Where did this idea come from? Because, you know, when the completion of the Bible back in the early first century, every subsequent century after that, right up into the 18th century, almost 100% of the church believed Genesis as written, absolute literal understanding of it.
就是从大概主后一世纪就是开始出现这个新约圣经，一直到大概1700年左右，这个圣经的权威性是没有人质疑的，大家都接受圣经所说的就是准确无误的。
In the 1700s, some men started to claim that the Bible is wrong about the age of the earth.
但是呢，到了1700年前后，开始有人出现来说这个圣经的说法有错误。
Two men, both British men, James Hutton and Charles Lyell.
就是两个英国人。
And one wrote the history of geology of the world.
其中的一个呢，他是写了这个整个地球的这个地质学。
They started looking at geological phenomena in a different way.
他开始用一些不同的方式来研究这个地质。
They would view sedimentary layers and erosion of rivers by a slow gradual process as opposed to catastrophic events like Noah's flood.
他们研究这个，比方说这个地层的一层一层的堆积，这个河床的腐蚀，然后他们得出的结论就是说，这个是地球是缓慢的形成的，而不是一个这种瞬间的创造。
Now, instead of theologians questioning the validity, the basis of these theories, they began to try to fit this long period of time into the Bible.
有趣的是呢，这些神学家们并没有质疑这两个人的著作，他们的理论有没有什么问题。相反，他们开始妥协，他们开始要把圣经，还有这种漫长的这个年月，就是。强加到这个圣经里边，让这个这两个好像可以包容，互相包容。
Three of the models, if you will, one was called theistic evolution. This is the view that God used evolution to create the world by directing the process.
所以呢，大概有三种不同的理论。第一种呢，就是这种神学的这种进化论，就是说神确实是创造世界，但他这个创造的方式是通过指导进化。
A lot of people believe that. Probably a lot of people believe that right here.
可能我们中间有些人相信这个理论。
I read a testimony that a lady wrote. She visited the Creation Museum and she wrote him a letter. And this lady was a very intelligent lady, very deeply scientific, but she was a Christian.
有这么一个姐妹哈，她是非常聪明，她也很喜欢深思，他去参观了一个这个地质博物馆还是什么地球生命博物馆，然后回来之后呢，他写了这样一个见证，我有幸读了。
She visited the Creation Museum more or less as a joke because she was convinced that evolution was the method God used to create the world.
他其实是一个基督徒，他去。看这个什么地球起源博物馆，有一开始是一种好像很好奇的一个好玩的心态，因为他相信神是通过 God created the world through evolution， 因为他相信神真的是通过进化的这种方式来创造了地球。
So she went on in her letter, after one day, just two or three hours touring the museum.She was convinced that God's word was the more accurate account.
但是他在花了两三个小时参观这个博物馆之后呢，他更加确信神的话是准确无误的。
When I hear that, I thought this lady, smart as she was probably instructed in just one way.
所以我看了他这个信以后，我就在想，虽然这个人非常的聪明，但是呢，好像他的这个思维是比较固化、比较僵化的。
And that Proverbs 18, jumped to mind.
这个箴言的第十八章就让我想起这个箴言第十八章。
The first to present his case seems right until another comes forward and questions him.
就是第一个跳出来说这个理论呢看起来是正确的，直到下一个质疑的人出来。
See, I believe that's why only one side is taught in schools. Once evolution is taught, first of all, I wouldn't want creation to be taught by a non-creationist. But evolution is taught, and if the opposite was given, I think people would see the truth.
因为很多时候呢，我们比较容易先入为主。如果你一开始接受的就是进化论，然后你让你再去接受创造论的，就好像比较难。所以，但是如果我们把这个次序倒过来，如果我们从小接受的是创造论的话呢，那么我们对这个进化论就会有更多的怀疑。
So the second one is progressive creation. It's just a rewording of the first one. We don't need to read it.
第二个理论呢，就是渐进性的创造，其实和第一个是比较类似的。
And then the next one is the day age theory. It's basically says the same thing. Each day represents millions of years.
第三个理论呢，就是好像说这个对这个每一天的创造，它这个天字它产生了很多不同的解读，就说它每一天并不是一个24小时的一天，而是代表一个漫长的，甚至是几百万年的时间。
You know, if that were true, then immediately the Bible would be wrong, because if each day represented many, many, many millions of years, then there would be many evenings and mornings.
如果这个理论是正确的话呢，那它就证明圣经是错的，因为既然是每一天代表的是几百万年，那么就会有很多很多的早晨黑夜，就让圣经就显得是错误的了。
Many evenings and mornings condensed into one day, but the Bible says there is evening and morning, one evening, one morning.
因为在这个创世纪里边说的很清楚，有早晨有黑夜，便是一天。它不可能有几百万个早晨黑夜挤在压缩在一天里边。
Thomas Huxley, I don't know if any of you have heard that name. Anybody heard that name?
大家听说过托马斯·赫胥黎这个名字吗？
He was a contemporary of Charles Darwin, and he was known as Charles Darwin's bulldog.
他是一个很善言辞的人，所以他是达尔文那个进化论的一个代言人、发言人。
He was a brilliant, self-educated man.
他是一个非常聪明的、自学成才的人。
He educated himself in history and philosophy.
他在这个历史学，在这个哲学上都颇有造诣。
Eventually graduating from medical school, top in his class.
最后，他是从医学院毕业，是他班上的第一名。
He was an ardent evolutionist and atheist.
他是一个无神论者，是一个坚定的进化论支持者。
And you know, when I think of compromise,
当我想到这个妥协、退让的时候。
Huxley could rebuke all the compromise better than I could ever do it.
这个赫胥黎呢，他可以。
And he was an atheist. Isn't that amazing?
即使他是一个无神论者，但是他对这种妥协的这种批判是非常直接，非常的到位。
Look what he said.
大家看看他是怎么说的。
I am fairly at a loss to comprehend how anyone, for a moment, can doubt.That Christian theology must stand or fall with the historical trustworthiness of the Jewish scriptures.
就是我是相当的迷惑不解，就是任何一个人他怎么可能在这个经文的这种强有力的这种证据下，仍然会怀疑说这个基督的信仰或者这个对基督徒的信仰，就是或者是能够坚立不倒，或者是就会完全垮台。就是你有这样的怀疑，就是一件 让我很奇怪的事情。
He understood correctly. A lot of those people back in that day, they were so well educated and so read, they had no distractions that like we have today. You know, I mean that's all they did was read. He was an expert in the Bible, and he's an atheist.
就是虽然他这个人是一个无神论者，但是他对圣经是非常的熟悉。
But he understood correctly that if Genesis was not real, actual, accurate authority, the Christian house comes crashing down.
他就说在这个圣经里边，这个创世纪是有非常决定性的这种奠基的作用。如果创世纪是有误的，那么整个这个圣经就是一个就像一个纸牌屋一样，它就会坍塌下来。
And then he went on in another statement. He quoted Genesis chapter 2. If divine authority is not claimed here for the 24th verse of the second chapter of Genesis, what is the value of language?
And就是如果那个创世纪的第二章这个第24节经文没有清楚的宣称了这个属天的这种权威性的话，那么语言还有什么价值呢？
Yeah, he understood it perfectly, perfectly clear. This is God's sanctioning of marriage.
所以呢，他在这里其实了解得很清楚，这就是一个神的不容你挑战、不容质疑的一个权威性的信息。
And again I ask, if one may play fast and loose with the story of the fall as a type or allegory, what becomes of the foundation of Pauline theology?
就是同样的，如果我们把这个人类的堕落看作是一个预言的话，那么这个保罗的神学的根基又在哪里呢？
Yep.Most people understand what Paul said in Corinthians and Romans. As in Adam, all die. So in Christ, all will be made alive.
就像因为保罗在哥林多书、在罗马书中都说到，就像我们就像那个首先的亚当一样，我们在最终都死了。然后呢，我们借着耶稣基督，我们又重新活过来。
And you know, Thomas made several other statements. I'm not going to.Bore you with all of them, but every one he understood correctly that the scriptures have to stand as a whole, or they'll crash to pieces.
所以这个赫胥黎的这个还有很多其他的评论，但是总体来说，它就是说明这个圣经作为一个整体，它是不可以分割的，不可以在任何一个小节上妥协或者是给出不同的说法的。否则的话，整部圣经就会倒塌，就会不被人相信。
You know, they say science has disproven Genesis.
有人说科学使得这个创世纪不可信。
Has science ever shown that a man can rise from the dead?
可是科学什么时候证明过一个人可以死里复活？
So based on science.We should reject the resurrection.
所以，如果我们仅仅的信靠科学的话，那么我们对死里复活是完全不能相信的。
Has science ever shown that there's such a thing as a virgin birth?
科学什么时候证明过一个处女可以生子？
So based on science, we should reject the virgin birth of our Savior.
所以如果我们仅仅相信科学，那么我们就无法接受这个玛利亚童女怀孕生子。
I mean, can you fill stone water jars with water and just over time just convert them into delicious wine?
你能够把一个缸装满了水，然后它就自然变成美酒吗？
No. So based on science, we should reject all of Jesus' miracles.
不可能的。所以如果我们仅仅相信科学，那么我们要撇弃所有的神的神迹。
Real science does not compete with the Bible.
一个真正的科学并不是和圣经来竞争。
It does not.
它不是。
It's in harmony with the Bible.
它其实是和圣经是一种很和谐共处的。
God is the author.
因为神是这个作者。
Of science.
他是科学的作者。
the scientists of the 13th, 14th, 15th century, brilliant men of science, and they were most of them were men of God. And one of them in particular used to say, as he did his scientific work, he likened it to thanking God's thoughts after him.
在这个人类历史上13、14、15世纪涌现出很多非常出名的科学家，其中的一位呢，他特别提到，他每次做完一个成功的实验之后，他都感谢神，归荣耀给神。
You know, in the Christian faith, we have a wonderful revelation to us. I don't like to call it a religion.
我们作为基督徒，神其实给我们了一个非常奇妙的启示。
Religion is the work of man and Satan.
这个我不喜欢用这个宗教信仰这个词，这个好像并不能够贴切的描述我们的信仰。
Christianity is very simply the solution to a problem.
这个基督信仰呢，其实很简单的来说，就是对我们所有问题的一个答案。
God saw humanity hopelessly, helplessly lost and trapped in sin.
神看我们人类真的是毫无指望的在最终挣扎。
And God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin.
神就派他的儿子来到世上，由童女受孕而生。
Born into the law.
他是生在律法之下。
Fulfilled the law perfectly.
他完全的成就了律法。
And shed His blood for our sins.
而且为我们的罪呢，他流血牺牲。
Let us pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good God.
神啊，我们谢谢你，谢谢你是我们的神，你的话语是真理，你是一个良善的神。
We thank you, Lord, for the grace that we enjoy through your Son.
我们也谢谢你，借着你的儿子给我们赐下的恩典。
We love you and we worship you.
我们爱你，我们敬拜你。
In His glorious name, Amen.
借着耶稣荣耀的名，阿门。